even love your enemies. You have heard that it was said, love your friends, hate your enemies. But now I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. There's a saying going around that says, break the rules, love everyone. And when Jesus gave this part of the Sermon on the Mount, he broke all the rules. He contradicted the law of Moses, and he contradicted the traditional interpretation of the law of Moses in radical ways. And this is just one place where he did it, so you can tell why it made a lot of the people around him mad whenever he talked, whenever he told people his vision for humanity, when he told people what he thought God meant by whatever God said and what God wanted for us. This was radical because he contradicted Moses in the Bible, what it said right there in the Bible, in plain, not English. Yeah. And he contradicted what most of the theological thinking of his day was. And he told people, don't do it that way. Do it this way. Love even your neighbor. Which takes love to a whole new level, doesn't it, when we think about it? Because everybody knows it's, like you said in there, it's easy to love the people who love you, who can you know, bolster your career or throw a party and invite you to it, or you know, do all kinds of things that like that. But it's a little harder when people, if they don't like you, to still love them. That takes a little more work. That takes a little more practice. That takes a little more thinking and studying on how best to do that. But that's what he calls us to. And I put a picture up for this. This is doing a landmark. I'm doing, instead of the lectionary this summer, I'm doing landmark passages that are landmarks to my own spiritual growth along the way. And so today's landmark is about loving even our enemies. And I put a picture there to go with it, Bible and the Book of Discipline. Because, that's kind of what Jesus contradicted, the similar materials from his age in giving these and other things that he said. The Bible for Jesus was really what we think of as the Catholic Bible today. The Bible, the Old Testament, including the verses that were removed a few hundred years ago by some of the reformers. It was hundreds of years later before the New Testament was added to our Bible. So he was looking at the law of Moses and the teachings of the prophets and the psalms and that they sang and everything like that. That was the scripture that he quoted from. And it's also in this passage the scripture he not only quoted from, but that he contradicted directly, intentionally. And we have the Book of Discipline. Of course, it wasn't around. It's just a couple hundred years old. It's our Book of Discipline for our church. But they had the Talmud, and they had other materials like that, the theologians, papers people would write, not things that people would say, and they would get together, kind of like our representatives do at General Conference, and vote on whatever they thought that the Bible meant. And sometimes one side would win, sometimes the other, go back and forth like it does now. And Jesus directly confronted those votes. He confronted those decisions on how the scriptures would be interpreted and applied. And probably the most radical place that he did that was not even here. It was when he said, when he was asked, what are the most important commandments in the whole scripture, in the whole Bible? And he said, love God and love one another. And then he added this to them. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets also. Those two commandments are what pull together and interpret everything that we read in the Bible. Whether it's the law or whether it's people preaching on the law. And by extension, everything else we talk about, everything else we do as the people of God, is to be interpreted by love. And that made a lot of people mad. But not everybody, because some people believed in him and they followed him and his law and his vision. But it still makes some people mad. And it addresses really the way we do things today with the Bible, what we do with the Bible, what we do with not only the Bible as it came about in its original forms, but also the various translations and interpretations and the way we apply the scriptures to our lives. Whether we do that in love and in genuine curiosity to know what God is trying to communicate to us, the God who loves us, the God who identifies as love, or some other basis and standard of what we want to say and what we want it to mean and what we want to do with it. And people have always and still do come up with all kinds of ways to justify some of the most atrocious applications of the scripture that they can imagine. We stand against that. And we stand for love. And we stand for loving each other the way that Christ has loved us, fully, completely, unconditionally, absolutely, universally. The Bible that Jesus quoted from Exodus 21, he said, the punishment shall be life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burn for burn, wound for wound, bruise for bruise. There's some other ones in there if you read before and after that. Except that right after this, there's another one that he said that he addressed the issue of slavery. And he said, if anybody harms their slave and it harms their eye or their tooth, then the payment that they need to make to that slave is to set that slave free. Freedom will be the price that they pay. Well, I think we're pretty clear on that. That didn't really happen amongst, especially been looking at some of my own ancestors. And they came out with a slave Bible where they just took out the whole book of Exodus so that the Bible wouldn't say that anymore. And they prevented people from being able to read and learn how to read so that if they did get a hold of a copy of the Bible with the book of Exodus in it, they wouldn't be able to read it. These people will go to almost any length to suppress the Word of God, the true Word of God, in order to oppress others. So that's what Jesus was standing up against when he said this about. And they took this and they went around talking about all the time the way that we still hear it being talked about. an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Oh, the Bible says that. Right there. And it does. It says it also in the book of Leviticus that everybody likes to quote. And you know how we do the book of Leviticus, how they do also. Whether they take the ones that that apply to someone else and they say, oh, those are still valid for today. But the ones that apply to themselves, they say, oh, that's in another category, the category of ones that don't apply today. That's pretty much the whole basis for deciding which apply and which don't. The ones they want to apply to somebody else, they still apply. And I saw a meme on the internet recently, and it had somebody had a tattoo of a verse in the Leviticus that they wanted to say what God was against, you know. Now, you know, there's only a few verses later that it has, don't put tattoos. So, you know, that's not the way to decide. So Jesus is really coming against people when he's saying, decide it on this other basis. Decide it on the basis of love, not on the basis of whatever your personal whims are. Or what you even, some, you know, what we, even on the basis of what our delegates vote on. And those are all guidance. In fact, the whole Bible and all of the body of theology is guidance of people pointing to Jesus and saying, there's Jesus, find him and get into a relationship with him and let him love you. You love him. Learn all about love. Love each other. Love the world around you. Be the people of God, loving each other and the world around us, no matter what, even if there are enemies. Segue back to the passage here, my God. I think I was still on the passage, but you know, that's where Jesus was doing. He was confronting those notions. And another thing was that in the book of Leviticus, that verse that Jesus lifted out as the basis of interpretation said, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Well, when Jesus said this about that, you've heard it said, love your friends and hate your enemies. This was not in the Bible that it said, love your friends and hate your enemies. It was the votes of the delegates, you might say. It was the votes of the people who were trying to interpret this. It was the kind of orthodox thinking of the day that since the Bible said, this is the reasoning, since the Bible said, love your friends, it must mean also that then you can hate you're supposed to hate your everybody else. If they weren't your friends, if they weren't your neighbor, if they weren't your family, if you didn't love them, then hate them. And that's the way they applied it. That's the way a lot of people look at it today. Love your friends and hate your enemies. But I say to you, love everybody, even your worst enemies, especially your enemies. If you do, then you will be able to be called the children of your Father in heaven. Doesn't that remind you of what he said in the Beatitudes? Because really that's his summary as he began his introduction to the Sermon on the Mount. And one of the things he said, you know, blessed are the peacemakers, they shall be called the children of God. So he confronted in his teachings not only some of the things that were already written in the Bible, which I'm sure he knew because according to my understanding in Hebrews, he called him the author and finisher of our faith. He knows all about our faith. If anybody, and in fact, the Bible even says in John, you know, about how that Jesus is the Word made flesh, dwelling among us, living out this whole expression of God, self-expression of God among us, demonstrating how we can do that. And what better demonstration of loving our enemy than when Jesus was hanging on the cross and forgave the people who were hanging him on the cross, torturing him, even while they were torturing him. Sometimes we might think, well, maybe later after he got over it, he forgave him. He forgave them while they were doing it. Oh, later, maybe after they begged him to forgive them, then he did. No, he forgave them even while they were in the middle of doing it. He loved them. That's pretty profound. That's more than what I can really wrap my mind around, actually. You know, okay. But that's the demonstration that he gave of what he meant. That's what the Bible means to Jesus. That's what he invites it to mean to us. It might take us the eternity to work right into that and live into it. But that's what we're trying to do here. In the last verse that Peg read a while ago, I said, you must be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect in this translation. And I think in the translation she read, complete as your Father in heaven is complete. In the Message version, he put, love generously and graciously toward others the way God lives toward you. Jesus pointed out that God makes it to rain on the just and the unjust. He shares his blessings with everybody. Good, bad, and everything in between. God loves everybody. God loves the whole world to send Christ to be our Savior. Teach us how to love one another. Teach us how to have that joy. Lift us to the joy divine, as the song says. And so live that way toward one another as best as that we can. The more we do it, the better we'll get at it. Practice love. Practice up on love. Put it to work in our lives. And, you know, it seems almost obvious or something that if we can love, the more we can love our enemies, the even better and easier it'll be to love our friends automatically. And the more lovable we become as people of love. And so that's what Christ invites us to. So that's why it's a landmark to me, is because it's just one of those things in the spiritual realm that really guides us and shows us the way to being complete and full and fulfilled and happy in this life and in the life of the world to come. In the name of Jesus, amen.